Welcome back to Through the Word in Exodus 16 today. Chris Langham is with us again.
Hey, how come you're doing the intro again?
So I can do this. Warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to. And you remembered my song.
Of course I did.
Thanks, Jonathan. Now, if only the Israelites would remember their song. Just one chapter after the stirring praise of Exodus 15, the Israelites are back to grumbling. One day their song is, "In your unfailing love you will lead us." The next day it's, "If only we had died in Egypt."
Sounds like a catchy tune.
Yeah, catchy like the plague.
Well, let's catch up with the Israelites. Verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from Elam and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. So they're about 6 weeks into their journey now, and the next stop is the desert of Sin.
How'd they get to Las Vegas?
You're thinking of Sin City. Actually, the word Sin here comes from Sinai. The name in English is just a coincidence, but with what happens next, you might wonder. Verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt."
Wow, they are not happy. And from a human standpoint, I get it. Journey to the promised land. Sounds awesome. Let's go into the desert with no food. Did anyone think this through? I mean, it's a little like showing up for the fire festival and realizing that the event organizer did not consider the logistics of 2 million people in the desert. They are mad at Moses.
And watch their words. "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve the entire assembly to death."
Wait, hold on. What did you have back in Egypt? Pots of meat and all you can eat? Egypt was not a Vegas buffet. They were slaves in bitter oppression, crying to God.
How quickly they forget. But we do it too. Memory plays tricks on us, and temptation will capitalize on it. Sometimes we look back on our sinful days with the blinders of nostalgia. The good old days. We remember the laughs of sin, but forget the pain. It's a dangerous place to be.
In our walk with God, why does grumbling come so easy? And why is it so hard to trust? And grumbling is indeed the opposite of trust. And hangry is no excuse for distrust.
So how does God respond? In verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days.'"
I'm just amazed that God didn't say, "I will rain down fire." The people grumble, and God rains down bread. God doesn't punish, but he does test them.
And that's an important word. In the Bible, testing isn't like algebra or spelling. It's not about pass or fail. Think of test more like training, trials that teach you lessons that grow your understanding and faith.
And above all, they teach you to trust the Lord. And that is the lesson for the Israelites here. Trust and obey. So here's the plan. It begins with bread from heaven.
Awesome.
Yes, but they have to follow instructions. Only gather enough for each day. And on the sixth day, that's Friday morning, gather enough for 2 days. Simple enough.
In verse 6, Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?"
There's an important lesson here. The people have been grumbling against their leaders, but the Lord heard it, and he took it personally. And that goes for us too. Sometimes we fool ourselves. "Oh, I trust God. I'm just complaining about my boss, that's all." Are you sure about that? Moses tells them, "You will know that it was the Lord." He says it twice. This journey is not following man. They are following God. And so are we. The Christian walk comes with many trials and with human leaders, but it is a walk with God. If you're frustrated, don't take it out on people. You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord.
So the Israelites will know that it was the Lord when he gives them meat in the evening and bread in the morning. In verse 13, "That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor."
Well, quail is certainly a nice feast for dinner. But what are those flakes on the desert floor?
Good question. That's exactly what the Israelites are asking. So Moses explains, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is manna. The word manna basically means, what is it?
So it's like a whatchamacallit bar.
Well, sort of, only without the chocolate.
That's chocolatey chocolate.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it was.
Sure. Whatever it was, Moses explains the rules. Each day, take as much as you need, for that day only. They did so, and everyone had just what they needed. But in verse 19, he adds, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell.
Wowzamadoo, that is not chew gooey caramel.
No, it's not. But it is a powerful lesson on trusting God. The Lord provided for today, and they just had to trust that he would provide tomorrow as well.
You know, you and I have both had our share of paycheck to paycheck living. I don't love it, but I will say God used it. And I learned some powerful lessons about trusting God and contentment with my daily bread.
And for Israel, this is not the permanent plan, but it is an essential lesson. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And there's another lesson. Each Friday, the people were told to gather twice as much so that they would have enough for the Sabbath on Saturday.
And sure enough, Sabbath morning came and no maggots.
And no need to gather. God gave them the day off. For lifelong slaves, this was quite a gift. No work required. Just enjoy the day with the Lord.
But some folks don't trust the gift. In verse 27, they go out to gather anyway, but they find nothing. And the Lord reminds them, Sabbath is a gift. Enjoy it.
And there's one more lesson for us here. In John 6, after Jesus had multiplied the loaves of bread, many people followed him, mostly because they wanted more bread.
But Jesus told them, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Now, when the people asked Jesus for a sign, they reminded him that Moses gave them manna.
But Jesus said, it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so they said, sir, give us this bread.
Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. The heart of this lesson is much deeper than trusting God to provide daily bread, but to trust that Jesus is our bread, that he satisfies our hunger, sustains our life, and gives us strength. Trust that Jesus is sufficient for each day, in work and in rest, and that he will be there for us tomorrow morning, just as he was today.
Read Exodus 16. After all, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we'll be back with more of it tomorrow.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.